Just by way of introduction for what we're doing today, this is a God Story Sunday. And if you've never been here for God Story Sunday, I'm going to explain what that is. But I want to do that by showing you this. This is my middle school Bible. thank you, Daryl. But you see this beautiful cover?
Yeah.
This is Nick.
Oh, wow.
I sent it off to someone on Etsy, some lovely person in Oregon, who took all of the bits of it that were still present, and she glued it all back together and put it all back in order because I really liked to read my Bible when I was in middle school. And I apparently haven't changed very much because Joy says anytime she picks up a book of mine, she's like, you just highlight everything, and I just want to show you that I have always been that way. And so it's not a new thing. I'm like, all of it's good. All of it. Remember this. Come back to this later. You're going to want that. So let me tell you something. It made it very easy for me to find the verse that I read you today because what do you know? I highlighted it. It was there ready for me. So, this is from Hebrews chapter 12, starting with verse 1, and it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And then it goes on from there. Just before this, in chapter 11, the writer of Hebrews just has this laundry list of people who you can read about in other places in the Bible. And they had these experiences with God. And they had experiences of faith and things that were happening in their relationship with God that made them believe and behave in certain kinds of ways. And what we do with God Story Sunday is we invite people to get up and to share a portion of their story that they have experienced with God. It is a way of reminding us that this great cloud of witnesses that we can read about here is continuing to grow, and that we are a part of that. And so today we're going to hear from Gwen Tressler and from Beth, and they're just going to share a snippet, one little piece of their life, or a chunk of their life, or all of their life. I don't know. I'm not talking about what they're doing. I don't know how they're going to be in there. But it'll be worth your time. That's for sure. So, who's up first? Is it Gwen?
Okay. In the boom.
There are two rules in the Tressler household. Win any cost. And never pick win a microphone. Alright, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord. One of my real heroes in life is the Scottish missionary and 1924 Olympic gold medalist in the 400 meter, Eric Little. And he said, referring to his call to China as a missionary, I believe that God made me for a purpose. But he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. Growing up in church, I don't want to take for granted that any of you know my background, but I was born on a Sunday and I was in church on Wednesday night.
Oh, wow.
I've been in church my whole life. I knew God from a young age. There was never any issue with whether I knew God. Okay? But growing up, it was also knowing God and also being in church. Music was just part of my life from a very young age. So I played the instruments, and I sang in junior choir when I was 9, and I bugged them until they let me into adult choir when I was like 11.
Oh. So,
please, how long am I going? And that was just my passion really was singing, and I did other things as well. By the time I was in high school, I did theater, and I did a lot of competitions and stuff, and I was a singer. That was really what I was known for. And I believe that that was God's purpose for my life at that point. That's what I thought. When I went into college, I went in as a performance major. So I sang a lot of opera roles, did a lot of theater, was doing a lot of competitions, was at a point where I was doing auditions with smaller companies, and was getting out there to sing. And I was on a path to becoming an opera singer. And everything was going well, everything was good, the sun was in the sky, God was in his heaven, everything was good! Toward the end of my master's degree, I was just getting ready to finish up. On an ordinary Wednesday. Wednesdays were master class day. So what that meant was everybody separated into their own little geeky groups. And so the brass went over there, and the pianist went over there, and we all had our own little huddle. And there would be a group of people that would perform for their friends and neighbors. And it was just a time to kind of think through the music and stuff. So it was just every Wednesday we did this. And that particular Wednesday, they didn't have enough people, so my professor asked if I would sing. He said, just do something, whatever. I said, fine. So I said, okay, I'll just do, the first Queen of Night aria from Mozart's Magic. So I had already sung the role. People had heard it over and over again. I'm sure they were tired of it, but they just needed another person. So I jumped in and did that. I'm singing along. Got to the high note. Opened my mouth. And nothing came out. Yeah, that was interesting. Mm-hmm. And I finished and walked off, and everybody knew me, and they were like, "What happened to you?" And I'm like, "I don't know." and I didn't worry about it until a couple of days later when I still couldn't see it. Mm-hmm. And then we started looking and kind of doodling around, and it was like somebody went through and locked off the top third of my voice. Mm-hmm. It was just not there. And that will, if you're a singer, cause a little bit of a meltdown. Nobody had any idea what was going on. And I went to different professors, and everybody kind of worked with me, and went, I don't know. And everybody thought it was something technical that I was doing. It actually wasn't. But we didn't know that at the time. But what did begin to happen, not surprisingly, because I had all of these ideas of where I was going, and I was on this path, and there was depression, there was anger, there was fear. I began to just have overwhelming, debilitating anxiety, which you would expect. But I couldn't do anything. I couldn't do any auditions. I couldn't sing anything, A, because my voice wasn't doing what it's supposed to do, and also because I physically could not do it. And it got to a point over about a year in there where it just got worse and worse and worse. Not only could I not sing, we can't sing opera, I couldn't sing anything. I couldn't sing with the radio in my car. I couldn't sing sitting there in church. I didn't worship because I couldn't sing where anybody might be able to hear that. I just fell apart. Everything. And I quit singing. I totally quit for about 10 years. That I did not sing. I know, I did some things in church, but not singing. I played piano, I did stuff. For about 10 years. So, by the time Tim and I were getting married, I went to a doctor that I worked with, actually, at the hospital. And he said, just looking at you, because I had some other symptoms going on, he said, you just look like you have polycystic ovarian syndrome. Have you ever been diagnosed? And I said, no. I went to see a doctor for this 10 years ago. I don't have it. He said, well, let's go down the hall, and we'll just do an ultrasound real quick. We'll just take a look. Just humor me. We'll just go take a look. Well, I did have it. So 10 years after the fact, I at least got a diagnosis. Because I asked him, I said, I know this is a weird question, but could this hormonal thing, because PCOS is a hormonal condition, could this hormonal thing have caused my voice to drop? And Dr. Mack, bless his heart, he didn't realize he was ripping my heart out and stomping on it. He said, oh yeah, sure. Those hormones, they would make your voice fold, your vocal form folds get thicker, and yeah, it would drop your voice. I'm like, I said, well, can we do something about it now that we know what it is? He goes, oh no, girl. It's, yeah, they stay that way. Once they're thinking like that, they stay that way. So, okay, mystery solved. But my life was still what it was. Life was what it was, and I went on. And I just said, well, okay, you know, that's in the past. I that's not even what I'm doing anymore, so that's it. At least I know. At least I know. I'm still angry. Okay, but let's be real. I was still angry at God for letting that happen. I was still, what were you thinking? But you go on with life. So one day, I'm doing my thing, minding my own business, and I heard the voice of God very distinctly say, baby, it's torn. And I knew exactly what he was talking about. And I was having none of it. I wish I could tell you that I went, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord. Be unto me as you will. That is not what I said. I said, oh, heck no. I am not walking through that kind of failure and humiliation again. I'm done. I am done. I did that. It was lovely while it lasted, but I am done. This is not part of my life anymore. And I don't know if you've ever played the staring game. You stare.
Yeah.
God doesn't blink. He just sits there and looks at you with these eyes of compassion and love until you blink.
Yeah.
And I said, okay. Like Peter coming in off of the night of fishing all night and catching nothing. And he said, Lord, you're a carpenter. We are fishermen. There are no fish. We know what fish looks like, and there are no fish. Nevertheless, because you tell me to throw my net out again, I will do it. I don't think he did it in great faith. I think he knew what fish looked like. Mm-hmm. I think he just said, I'm going to do this because you told me to. Mm-hmm. I don't expect any fish. I kind of approached it that way, too. I was like, I expect nothing. I have worked with people. I have gone to people and tried to fix my problem, and I haven't been able to. So I don't know what's going to make this any different this time. But I had to walk it out as obedience, expecting nothing. Mm-hmm. So I started out all new repertoire because I couldn't sing the stuff that I used to sing, so my voice was completely different. And I did learn all new stuff. And then God really led me to put scripture on 3x5 cards. And just as I would read, because I was reading the word all the time, that is that is your strength?
Yeah.
And I was putting it on 3x5 cards, and I just had them in my bag all the time. Mm-hmm. And I would pull them out and flip through them, letting God's word go down into my heart and change me on the inside. I will not fear because you are with me. Mm-hmm. I will be still and know that you are God. Mm-hmm. You have put a new song in my mouth, even a song of praise to my God. I will open my mouth wide and you will fill it.
Wow.
I am anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, I let my request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard my heart and my mind through Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Things began to change. Again, I wish I could say it was, you know, immediate. God just delivered me, and I went and sang it from it. But that's not what happened. It was a daily walking out. It was a daily obedience. And each step, God was with me. And like Eric Little, I sensed his pleasure. Not in how great I was, because it wasn't. But I went to the first audition, and I made it. I was there. And I didn't fall apart. And I sensed God's pleasure. And I did another one, and it went pretty well. And I sensed God's pleasure. And I got a small role here. And I sensed God's pleasure. And I got a big role. And I sensed God's pleasure. And it was just this thing of Him going, come on, baby, you can do this. I got your hands. We're going to walk this out.
Praise the Lord.
The first time being able to sit in the church of the congregation of the saints and worship without, again, falling apart, without having to say, I can't sing because somebody would hear that, and that would be the worst thing that could possibly happen. The first time that I got to lead worship again for women's retreat. Wow. What a blessing to be able to do that again after all that time. And going back into theater and opera, which I did, God gave that back to me. He didn't have to, but he did because he's gracious. He's merciful. And he let me do that again. He's such a good God.
Yes.
But you know what is most precious? It's during this time. Something I didn't really expect. Again, because I grew up in church and I grew up knowing God. I had this bone deep. I was so convinced in my very being that I am loved by God beyond anything that I can even imagine. My dad loves me. And he looks at me and goes, do you see my baby? Do you see my baby there? He is so pleased when we do anything, when we're just obedient to him. How much that pleases him. So that bone deep knowledge of his love is precious. Also that the intimacy that happened out of this with the Father. Just, I know his voice so well.
I'm sorry.
Because I spent all that time in the Word and having those scripture verses and all of that stuff that just, I know his voice. I know his tone. I know how he speaks to me. I know when he's talking to me. There's just an intimacy there that I didn't have before. I knew him. I didn't have that kind of intimacy with him before. And now I do. And that is so precious to me. I cherish that. So if I could say anything by way of encouragement, it would be to say, don't be afraid to let God get his hands in that mess. Whatever your darkness is, because, okay, again, being real, he already knows about it. It's not like he doesn't know. You're not actually hiding it from him. Whatever it is, depression, grief, anger, disappointment, anxiety, humiliation, fear, bitterness, sadness, whatever the brokenness is that just is sucking the life out of you, let him put his hands into that mess and bring healing. Because that's what he longs to do. Because he loves you so much.
Amen.
So, words from Brother Eric again. Circumstances may appear to wreck our lives and God's plans. But God is not helpless among the ruins. God's love is still working. He comes in and takes the calamity and uses it victoriously, working out his wonderful plan of love.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
So, my name is Beth Miller. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. And I've been at Edgewood Church about 6 years with my life partner, Randy. So, you guys are working with us and praying with us, which we really appreciate. So, when Joy asked me to do a God story, I thought, I don't know if I have one. Like, I've heard a lot of really good things up here. I don't know if I have one that's worthy of kind of talking to you all. But in reality, we all do. We all have a God story. I really think I have a series of small ones, like a collection of short stories.
Yeah.
So bear with me. They're going to be really fast, I promise. But the first one starts before I was born. So I was blessed to be born into a middle-class family in Kentucky in a small town that had very deep roots in faith in God, belief in God, and service to God. And that's the first blessing, is that my parents were God, definitely God-fearing and God-loving people. And when my mom was in labor with me, or about to be, when she was pregnant with me, she had a medical issue. And they lost her. Like, she was gone. They had a heartbeat. And she tells me that she remembers being above the table, looking down on them, working on me, on her and me, to deliver me. And she saw a white light. So I don't know if you have heard any of the stories, you know, about this journey, you know, when you die. And God spoke to her, or the Holy Spirit. I don't know which one. It doesn't matter. They're all going to be the same. But spoke to her and said, she's only 28 years old. She had three little boys at home, and then me coming. And that this was not your time. That I have a plan for you, and you will do great things for me. And so she woke up, and she was alive, and I was in her arms. So that was probably another big blessing for me, right?
Yeah.
To not have been raised and born into a family with no mother and three little boys. I mean, what a tragedy. But we all know people that have had that happen.
Yeah.
And maybe someone in this room. Mm-hmm. And for that, if that has happened to you, I'm so sorry, because I don't even know how that would be, because I've had my mom for my whole life. She's 89 years old now.
Wow.
And she is amazing. And so she's my prayer warrior. And she has been the prayer warrior for hundreds, if not thousands. Mm-hmm. So her work here, she has been a good and faithful servant. And she's still with us, and she's still very much alive. She probably has more energy than I do right now as I'm walking around slowly like an old lady with the back surgery. But anyway, so my God story has a lot to do with her. So that story started off, obviously. But as I progressed, my life was really good. I had a lot of really positive things happen. But during a really dark time in my life, I've been married for 24 years, and raised Catholic, although a very charismatic Catholic. My parents kind of started the charismatic Catholic movement. I can tell you about that, but I'm very proud of that. But they basically, my mom gave me permission that it was okay to get a divorce, that I ain't trying. So I'm not going to tell you all the story about that, but there was a lot of emotional issues, alcohol, financial issues, and I was really scared for my life. And I was scared mentally that I wasn't going to be able to support my three girls. And even sometimes physically, I have to say, there were some times I was scared. And so she was my prayer warrior. She prayed with me almost every day. And I know she prayed night and day for me to have the strength to get to the other side of this situation. And the people that knew me would all say, oh, you're going to be okay. If anybody I know, you're going to be okay. Well, when you're in the moment, and you are waking up with anxiety and just, you know, that's not helpful. But, you know, it's good that they think that and they have belief in you, but, you know, and God has belief that you're going to. But when you're in it, it's really hard. It's really hard to think that that's going to happen, right? And so my mom would remind me of Psalm 91. And so I'm going to read to you verses 9 through 12 real quick. In this Bible that she gave me, and some of the explanation around it. And it's because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge. No evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Mm-hmm. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Mm-hmm. And you know, this was something that really gave me solace. Like, it just, you know, and when I read, she would have me, I mean, that's great, you know, it's all the biblical words and everything, but really, what I really liked about this was the words been believed in, so like a study Bible. And it said, nothing can happen to a faithful servant of God unless God allows it. And this truth does not mean there will be nothing unpleasant or difficult times, but as long as we obey and depend on God as the leader, authority and source of refuge in our lives, he will work through everything that happens to us for our good. And that's what I had to hold onto at that time. And so I persevered. And during this time, during my separation, I lost my job, and I was a breadwinner. I had been in the company for 20 years, there had been an acquisition, a lot of stuff going on, but I got to that place. I was so blessed that I got that, but I was still scared to death, right? I'm like, what am I going to do? How am I going to survive this, you know, divorce, and I'm the breadwinner, and I've got kids going to college, you know, it's like, what am I going to do? And so I just decided to try to have faith and just enjoy the first time in my life since I was 15 years old that I was going to have a break and spend some time with my kids, like, not working all the time, right? So I took some weeks off. It was the summer. I didn't even tell them that I lost my job because they would have lost their minds. They were so worried about life anyway. And I just pretended I was working from home. We just did stuff together. We had so much fun. We reconnected as a family. And I sent my oldest off to college. If you've ever done that, you cry. I mean, it's so hard. So came home, sent her to college. It was a great thing to get her out of all the stuff that was going on, and she needed to get out of town. And so it was perfect. And then I sat down, and I had my laptop up, and I'm like, okay, I got to write a resume. I haven't had a resume for 20 years. When you work for the same company, you don't need a resume, right? I didn't even know where to start. And then so I'm looking like, how do I put this together? I don't know what I did for the past 20 years. Like, how do I make this work? You know? You just do different jobs at some company, and I was at Bell's. You know, how do you put all that, write all that together? I'm sitting there, my mom calls me. She's like, what are you doing? How are you doing? You know, I know you're sad, but it's going to be okay. You know, it's always going to be okay. And I said, Mom, you know, I love you, and I'm glad you're praying for me, but I have to put work into it. God doesn't expect things to just fall into your lap. Like, I need to write a resume. I need to apply for jobs. I need to interview. Like, I trust that it is going to be okay, but there is work that has to be done. He expects it, I expect it. And she was like, no, I really think that something great is going to happen. And I said, okay, you can keep praying that. You know, like, somebody's just going to call me up out of the blue and offer me a job. Like, I don't think so. She's like, okay, you know, that's fine. So we'll let you get back to it. Are you working? My boss's boss from Bell South calls me on the phone and says, what are you doing? How you been? I know it's been a couple months since, you know, we all got let go or whatever. But I've been thinking about you. And I'm like, how did you even have my phone number? Like, he was my boss's boss. He was like a VP at the company. And I'm thinking, we didn't even know each other that well, you know? I mean, on a first name basis, but that was about it. I wouldn't be called a work friend or anything. And he said, I have a position for you. I just got offered the job of this company. And yeah, I never underestimate my mother. Amazing. And so sure enough, he said, I said, well, I was just sitting here updating my resume. He goes, well, get it done as soon as you can. I need you. I need somebody to come in. Can you get it done by the end of the day and send it to me? And I'd love to interview, you know, come in for an interview on Monday. This was like a Friday. It happened. I got the job. I was there for 8 years. Life-changing. I mean, seriously, y'all, that was life-changing because it was at a level higher than I had been at the company I had been at. But because you knew me, he was willing to bring me in to build a team, and I don't know of anybody else that would have done that for me when I think about it, that knew me, that knew my work, that would just bring me in at a higher level than I, anyway, it was just complete God thing. So my mom got a big kick out of it. she knew. She was like, oh yeah, I knew that was going to happen. And so I really don't want to doubt her, but I'm not gonna. There's a couple more I'm gonna tell you about, and one of them involves Randy. He's gonna be embarrassed, but so I got through. I was doing the job. I got through the divorce, which was almost 14 years and 6 days ago. So to do this God story this month was kind of all right. It's kind of a good thing, right? That I'm here to talk about something that was such a, you know, it's like a death when you go through a divorce after being with someone that long. And so I had been separated for like, it was like a 2 or 3 or 4 year divorce. It was an awful long process. It was a bad one. And about May, I guess it was May, after February, I was with my friends and they wanted me to go out to dinner with them. And a you need to get out. Like, you are, all you do is work. You've got kids, you need to go out. Come, just go to dinner. And so, of course, I was late, so I was at work, and I was working late. And I show up, and I've got, like, a blazer on, and a dress, and heels, and they're all looking fun and cute, and I just want to go home. Y'all, I just want to go home. I went, had advertised for it, and go, no, we're going to go to this new place, and you're coming with us. And I was like, no, I'm tired, I just want to go home. They said, no, you've got to get out. Like, you are just wallowing. Like, you're wallowing. You got to get out. And so I'm like, I said, okay, I'll go with you. So we go to this Mexican restaurant that was out, like, 20 or 30 minutes away. I would never go to this place on my own. I would never know anybody in this area. It was like a whole other city, right? A little suburb of Atlanta. And we walk in, and there was a 45-minute wait. So we go up to the bar, and everybody, Randy loves to tell everybody this. We go up to the bar, and I walk up, and there's three stools, and he's sitting there just by himself on his way home from a flight. And, you know, I don't know, eating fish tacos on Thursday night. We did. He came there once on Thursday night. I never went there. And so God sent me there. I walk up to him and I said, hi, I'm Beth Miller. Like, I was in a conference. I had no game whatsoever. And he was just like, well, hi, you know.
Yes, you did.
I did. And so are these seats taken so my girlfriends and I can sit while we're waiting for our table. And the next thing I know, we are talking, we're sitting next to each other, and I found out he's from Kentucky, I grew up in Kentucky, he had three kids, I had three kids. Like, it was just, he had a job. There was a movie by Katherine Heigl at the time, and it was a bucket list, like this bucket list. And I had laughed before, like a month or so before, with my friends, that, like, you know, it'd be great, you know, if I met somebody that had a son, because I never had any boys. Like, it was just, like, really starting to get creepy. But I didn't know, he didn't know that I was sitting there going, he's kind of cute, you know. And sure enough, we ended up, I never went on a date with anyone else after I was divorced. Mm-hmm. And we've been together 14 years.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's not about dating, and that's not part of my guy's story, and nothing is. That was pretty amazing.
I did ask her where her name tag was.
It was pretty funny. I didn't even, yeah. So obviously I didn't need game because calling me for a date. Oh, and then I told him no. He asked me out, and I told him no. Because I had to go to my friend's big 50th birthday party, and my friends and everybody was going, how did you ever call you again? You asked me that. You rejected him. And I was like, but I'm not going to miss my friend's 50th birthday party because someone asked me on a date, you know? And so I guess, you know, again, I just didn't understand, like, the part of dating. And so he called me back. So that was good. So a couple other things, a couple other stories, just really, really quickly. One more story, I guess. I just had back surgery 2 weeks ago. Well, actually, I fell 4.5 years ago. And you guys all helped me pray me through that. Had a neck fusion. I was numb from the waist down. I mean, I could have been paralyzed. God saved me from that. And he also woke me up to, like, what's important in life. That was very life-changing to have that. I still have some chronic pain in my hand, but it's like my memory reminder that I wasn't paralyzed and I'm not in a wheelchair, so it's okay. It's totally okay to have that. It's totally manageable. But about 3 months ago, I started having sciatica in my right leg. And if you've ever had that, it gets to the point where it's pretty excruciating. And I walk into my office, and there was a young man there, and he said he had just had back surgery. And it was a surgery I'd never heard about. And we don't go in the office that much, okay? We go in maybe once a month. Cyrus and I both happened to be there that same day, and he was telling me about his back surgery and his calf. He had sciatica, and that he wished he had gone into his doctor sooner because he had a lot of nerve damage, like his one calf is half the size of the other. And I was just sitting there going, oh my gosh, it sounds like my situation with my sciatica. And I called my doctor that did my neck surgery and got in, did an MRI within 4 days, and I literally had a herniated L4 disc. And he said, I can do this surgery, and it's called a microdiscectomy. And I said, I know exactly what that is, because my friend that I randomly ran into at work just had that same procedure. And so life's little coincidences are not going to just at all. They're God working in your path. And so you just have to let go and let God kind of control, have the control, let him, let the angels follow you. I had the surgery, the sciatica went away, and then it came back. So there was a week in between, and I just am happy to tell everyone today that it's gone again.
Yay.
And I am receiving that, and I want you all to receive that with me, because I know God God was just reminding me that, you know, this is what it was like, and I'm going to take it away again, but just in case you were wondering, I'm here for you, and I'm getting it.
Thank you.
Counselor Sundays are the best. I can do that with just about every Sunday. You know? What I love about this is how we hear some, like, they didn't, you guys didn't communicate beforehand about, like, the theme of what you're going to be discussing today. But this idea of rescue and finding refuge, even when it doesn't look hopeful. Choosing to take refuge in God during that time. And then you both have these really lovely stories of how God redeemed and picked you up out of that. And maybe not in the ways that you thought. You know, Randy fish tacos on Thursday. You know, if you had known to pray for that, that would have been so random. You know, like God helping with Randy and fish tacos on Thursday. You know, sometimes we don't know what to ask for. You know, we don't know how God's going to deliver, how God's going to help. But we trust that we have a good God who is paying attention and that sees us, and that helps.